is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and Fear the Sword. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host. It's trade deadline day. It is the most exciting trade deadline day in all sports. It is one of the most fun days in the NBA. Of course, it has nothing really to do with basketball, although the Cavs do play the Knicks at 8 p.m. tonight. A couple other interesting games on the docket across the NBA. You have Chris Paul perhaps returning for the Clippers as Golden State and Los Angeles play. And New Orleans gets the debut of Boogie Cousins and Omri Caspi, because shout out to Omri, in his first game as well on this Thursday. So kind of an interesting day. You'll have a 3 p.m. deadline. As you listen to this, there is the chance, just because of the nature of trade deadline day, that what I'm saying right now, as I recorded this on Wednesday evening, and as what we know, Wednesday evening is going to be irrelevant when you get to this podcast. For that, I do apologize. What I'm going to do as a quick deadline reaction at 3 p.m. is I'm going to record something. It's not going to be the same quality that you might like, that I have my computer when the audio isn't skipping. It's not going to be with a mic. It's going to be probably off my phone. I will upload that to either Bumpers, which is this app that allows you to do some quick audio recording, or I'm going to do it on this channel, on the Locked On Cavs channel here on Audio Boom and on iTunes. So you'll get a quick 5 to 10 minute reaction on what the Cavs did at the deadline and if any of the Cavs' competitors did anything. To look at the rest of the teams, obviously Boston could make a deal for a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler. The Wizards made a nice deal. They got Bojan Bogdanovic and Chris McCullough for Andrew Nicholson and a protected pick. So you have that. And you have Toronto perhaps doing something as well. And Washington still is looking for another bench piece. And there's a couple things in flux there. That all could affect the Cavs. It doesn't look like Golden State's going to do anything. I don't think the Clippers are really going to do anything. I don't think any of the teams out west that are title contenders, aside from the Warriors, are really going to do anything. The Rockets, of course, are in the news, and we're going to get to them and how they relate to the Cavs in a second. But just the first thing is, it's not something that's a trade, is that Larry Sanders, of course, did work out with the Cavs on Wednesday. He Snapchatted that he was in Cleveland. We all sort of saw that when we saw the reports. My understanding of it going into it was that unless he wowed them, there was not going to be any sort of deal worked out with the Cavs. He wasn't going to sign something on Wednesday. He is someone that I think is a fallback option, depending on how everything else shakes out. So do not be surprised if he is not someone that we don't hear from for 2 weeks until the buyout market becomes more clear. That is certainly a possibility. But everyone within the Cavs did seem to say positive things about him. They weren't going to obviously go out and bash him when they talk about him in practice. But Lou's quote was interesting. And I'm going to read you these two quotes. These are transcribed from Cleveland.com, so they're legit, obviously. And I'm not going to read anything that isn't legit. So, Lou said, quote, "I just think it's his mindset." When he asked about whether Saunders can ever get back to being that player, and that player being the guy that was a great player before he left the game two seasons ago. And he said, "I don't think his talents went anywhere. Being able to block shots, run the floor, being athletic, I don't think that's going to change. It's just a mindset of, does he really want to play the game, and does he still love it? If his mindset is right, he can definitely still play." Lou also said, quote, "It was good. It was good." Probably in reference to his workout. He's a good dude. I know he has some negative things said about him, but just meeting him for the first time, just talking to him one-on-one, I mean, he's a great guy. So, interesting quotes there from the Cavs. Kyrie Irving also had some positive things to say about one Larry Sanders. Now, I tweeted, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I did, or you might know, that I tweeted that he might never be good again, and I do sort of stand by that. I think if you're looking at what he is, he hasn't played in 2 years, was kind of not as good that when he did leave, and the Celtics workout, you know, they said that he wasn't in great shape. My understanding of it was he wasn't in great shape, that he needs to gain some weight. So that is certainly a concern there, and I think 2 years off is an issue. I understand the upside of Larry Sanders. Me not being super bullish about him doesn't make me any less believable that he could be useful. My thing is, I don't think he's going to help them right now. I think if you have expectations that he's going to come in and help the team and give them something significant, I would be a little bit more worried and more skeptical of that than a guy who's in the NBA this year, like Andrew Bogut. Even if that guy hasn't been as talented or isn't as talented as a Larry Sanders. Now, I think they could certainly go to him. I think it might be something where he ends up signing in a week or two, if at all. Or you could also have him sign a 10-day deal. I think that's certainly possible as well, but I don't think you're getting anything immediate with Larry Sanders. That is my read on that situation. We'll keep an eye on it. And I think the Cavs, if they acquire a big at the trade deadline, that will sort of eliminate Sanders. But interesting day. Would love to know more about his workout. I'm going to work on that, and we'll see where that goes. the only really trade news we have with the Cavs is that Shelvin Mack was someone the Cavs are interested in. Someone that the team has been pursuing because he can fit into a trade exception. But per Chris Haynes of ESPN, those talks have centered out. Jordan McRae was involved in those deals, in those discussions. And they aren't going anywhere right now. That makes some sense. The Cavs just don't have a lot to sweeten that deal with Utah. Mack is a goodish player. I mean, he has some value still. He does some things pretty well and continue to do them really, really well. But there are limits to what he is, and the Jazz just don't really need to. They're dealing from a position of having so many point guards. And if they want to say, you have to wow us, that's their prerogative to do so. I personally think he would be a good fit. It's the right price. There's a bunch of different ways you could look at Mac and be pretty, I think, reasonable in thinking he would be a good player. I also think there's just some unlikely that that deal gets done. If I wouldn't give up Chidi Osman for him, for him being a rental because he's a free agent. I would do McRae in a second round pick, no problem, if it's into the trade exception. But we'll see if this happens. I mean, anything could change between now and 3 p.m. and things could get weirder. Things could certainly get a bit more chaotic on that front, and it wouldn't shock me if something did happen with that, but it sounds like it's a little bit dead right there. Then you have Derek Williams signed another 10-day deal and another non-trade thing. He is obviously back. I think that makes a lot of sense. Nothing much to say there. I think this is not a surprise, and I would think he is going to end up getting signed for the rest of the year unless the Cavs make a deal for a big. That is going to be a rotation player. So, Derek Williams back. Notable there. Additionally, the Rockets apparently do want Amon Shumpert per Mark Stein, but per Kelvin Watkins of ESPN, Houston does not want to give a Patrick Beverley. Now, that matters because the Cavs apparently were asking for Patrick Beverley, who the Cavs, I think, we really could use. He is Matthew Dellavedova on proverbial steroids. This is a great player, a great defender, a good shooter, could be really, really useful on this Cavs team, but Houston does not want to give him up, and they should not give him up. He gives them something unique. He is on a probably the best contract in the NBA. If I am not mistaken, this is a guy who is making about $10 million the next few years under this new cap. And that is a bargain if you're the Houston Rockets. So I don't think Shumpert for Beverley, which does work, would necessarily make sense for the Cavs. And that's sort of where I have the issue with it, and I don't think it works for the Cavs just because Houston, to clarify, is not going to do that. And the Cavs just don't have anything to really sweeten that deal. Patrick Beverley would be great. I would deal Amon Shumpert for him in a second. I would probably give up Chetty Osmond to go get Patrick Beverley. Houston's probably not going to do that. And that is certainly kind of a problem for the Cavs. That's sort of the problem I think they're going to hit with a lot of this stuff. If they like somebody and there's a bidding war, or it's a guy that team really also really likes, not going to be easy to pry people away with bad first-round picks, with trade exceptions, and Chetty Osmond. Like, you're just not going to get very far. Those are not opening big doors for trades. That is sort of where we are at. This is not going to be a long trade deadline preview. I will say I don't think Boston's going to do anything. That is just my guess. I do think Washington makes another trade, and I don't think the Cavs ultimately do anything significant. I just don't think they have the assets. I don't think they have the tools and just situation necessary to really pull off something significant. They could do something small, and I would say it makes sense for them to do something small if they can. But Shelvin Mack, doesn't look like that's going to happen. Doesn't look like any of the other guys they've been linked to are going to happen. I would, again, be shocked if the Patrick Beverley, Amon Shumpert thing became a real thing. So we'll see what they do. 3 p.m. deadline. Follow me on Twitter at SeedBlimWrites. Follow Fear the Sword. We're going to be covering that really, everything in detail the whole way through. And it's going to be fun. I love trade deadline day. I think the Cavs, again, could do something. I just don't expect them to. And I will drop something right at about 3 o'clock, right after, and kind of analyze everything that happened, either on here or on the Audio Boom channel. That will end up in iTunes as well. Probably going to be the latter, but we're going to just see kind of how things play out and what the situation looks like. But again, Cavs were linked to a couple things. Doesn't look like it's anything significant. And of note, they also have said, Tyronn Lue said he doesn't want Amon Shumpert to go anywhere. And I do kind of believe that, based on my own understanding of the situation there. So, again, trade deadline day. Not a whole lot going on with the Cavs. Just not a whole lot to really get into in terms of what's realistic and what's not. Shelvin Mack, Patrick Beverley, two guys they're looking at. It looks like they are zeroing in on point guards if that's something they're going to do. But we'll see. 3 p.m. deadline. Look out for that extra podcast that's going to come on Thursday. And drop those mailbag questions in after the deadline. I'm sure you guys will have some. Drop those to lockdowncavs@gmail.com or to at lockdowncavs or on the Reddit page that I set up over the Reddit thread I set up. And drop those things there. So, it's been Locked On Cavs. It's been Chris Manning. Happy trade deadline day. And we'll talk to you at about 3 p.m. Whether the Cavs do something or not.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.